Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com, beaconbaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Lord, make me thankful. That's what I will pray if I learn from the prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossian church, recorded in Colossians chapter 1. And I will realize that this is one of the most important things that I can cultivate in my life, a greater sense of thanksgiving to God, to give thanksgiving a more significant place in my relationship with God. Lord, make me thankful. Indeed, for that is what Paul was praying. He was saying, Lord, make the Colossians thankful, as he laid his petitions for the Colossians before the throne of grace, praying first that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, secondly, that they might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, third, that they might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and now finally, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And so, Lord, make me thankful. And we shall be more thankful as we understand the significance of thanksgiving, the object of our thanks, giving thanks to the Father, the manner of our thanks, as we saw it on the broadcast yesterday, with joy giving thanks, or joyfully giving thanks. And now today we're going to take up the reason for our thanks. And obviously there are many, many reasons, but we want to look at the one that Paul himself includes in this prayer. And so, to that end, we will gather around the Word of God on this Thursday, November 19 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And we can do this because of the gifts of you, our radio listeners. Thank you so very much. The reason for our thanks. And that comes in the last part of verse 12. Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's our greatest reason for rendering thanks to God. Let's consider the whole verse once again. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Or even backing up and taking those last two words out of verse 11 that we suggested on the broadcast yesterday probably would best be attached to verse 12. We read, with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And so, what is our greatest reason for thanks? It is for the great gift of salvation. We give thanks to the Father because he has saved us. And Paul describes that great salvation in verses 12 and 13 and 14, and even other aspects that are sprinkled throughout the remainder of this epistle. But for now, let's confine our considerations to those aspects of salvation that are before us in verse 12. We give thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So when it comes to salvation, let's consider first of all, who has done it? Who has saved us? Who has, and to use the words actually of this text, who has qualified us for salvation? Now that's not usually the way we think of it, but that's how we need to think about it as we are examining these words. We give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, we don't often think of ourselves in regard to salvation coupled with the idea of qualified for salvation because, well, that doesn't seem to jive with our understanding of salvation. We're not saved because we are qualified for salvation. We are actually saved because we recognize how totally unqualified we are. And that's true. But though we, in ourselves, by ourselves, by our efforts, by our life, by our thoughts, by our sinful nature and sinful deeds and thoughts and actions are totally and completely and hopelessly unqualified for heaven, for salvation, God, who saves sinners, must qualify them for salvation. That, I say, is a strange thought in some respects, but again, it's the language of this text, and if we'll think it through, we'll learn something. And the first thing we learn is when it comes to qualification for salvation, who has done it? God, not man, does the qualifying. We're not talking about qualifying ourselves for salvation. That may be the first thought that pops into our minds when we use this word qualified. And that may be why it's a strange word and seems out of place. And it certainly is, if we're talking about doing anything to qualify ourselves. And that is the realization that every sinner must come to. I'm not qualified. I can't become qualified by my efforts. And that is a critical understanding that we must come to and is a difficult one to come to because by our Adamic fallenness, we all think of ourselves as being good and worthy and able to qualify ourselves. I can do this. I can do that. I have done this. I have done that. This should qualify that me. That should qualify me. But nope, we'll never be saved that way until we recognize we neither are qualified nor can qualify ourselves. There's nothing we can do to make us commendable to God, but God can qualify us. God does the qualification. This is another way of saying salvation is of the Lord. I don't save myself. I certainly don't save anybody else, but I don't save myself. I don't even contribute to my salvation, when we're talking about the new birth, when we're talking about justification, when we're talking about salvation in its initial aspects, I don't do anything. I can't do anything. All I can offer to this equation is my sin. And that certainly won't qualify me for salvation. That just qualifies me for needing a Savior. And when I recognize that, then I'm in a position to receive a Savior. But it is God who must qualify us. So, God has done it, and what exactly has He done? We're giving Him thanks, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What has He done? He has qualified us. He has made us competent. That's what this word qualified means. He has made us sufficient. He has made us fit, might be another word to stick in here, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified us for an inheritance. The inheritance. The most important inheritance, the heavenly inheritance, the inheritance that we share with His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become joint heirs with Him. That means we share His inheritance. And of course, we share it also with others who trust in Him. But God must make us qualified for this inheritance. So He has qualified us. He has included us is another way to look at it, because it talks about being made partakers of the inheritance. The word inheritance literally means the portion of the lot. It actually refers back to the Old Testament in the days of Israel when they came into the promised land, and the various parcels, the various portions of the land were allocated by lot. Which portions this tribe would inherit and which portions that hot tribe would inherit were decided by lot. And then which families would inherit what portion of their tribe's portion, all of that was decided by lot. We might say by drawing straws or drawing names out of a hat or by throwing the dice or something like that. And that's the idea here, inheritance, the portion of the lot, the portion that comes to me by lot. And the amazing thing is that Paul is instructing Colossians, who are Gentiles, to thank God for qualifying them to be partakers with the inheritance. Formerly, you would have thought in terms of this inheritance designed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and a promise to Abraham's seed, you would have thought of that inheritance only coming to the physical descendants of Abraham, only available to the Jews. But nope, by God's design, and now by his glorious revelation, we learn that Gentiles are included too. They are made qualified by God to be partakers of the inheritance. Isn't that marvelous? It didn't seem like there was any way for me, a Gentile, to be qualified to partake of the inheritance. I thought you had to be a Jew to qualify for that. We're talking now not, of course, about the inheritance in the earthly promised land, but the heavenly inheritance, of which that earthly promised land was only a shadow, a type, a forerunner of the inheritance that really matters, the eternal one, the spiritual one. And now we learn that Gentiles, by the grace of God, are qualified to be partakers, to share alongside with Jews who also believe in Jesus Christ. Jews don't qualify simply by being descendants of Abraham. Jews qualify by exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jews who do that are qualified to partake of the inheritance. And Gentiles who do that are also qualified to partake of the inheritance. And God it is who actually qualifies us to be partakers with the saints, the holy ones, the redeemed people of God. This is astounding, the more we think about it. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, of all people, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. As the phrase rolls on, word after word, it becomes more instructive and more incredible and more significant as a cause for giving thanks. No wonder we should give thanks to God. No wonder the Colossians were instructed to give thanks to God. No wonder Paul's prayer for the Colossians included this prayer that they would give thanks to God for such great grace. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.